Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
It's a Monday on Fantasy Sports today as Joe Pizzapia, Craig Mischer in the house, recapping everything that happened in week 7 of the NFL. Also taking a look at the Monday night football game between the Jets and Patriots. We got so much to get to. Can't wait to get started as Fantasy Sports today starts now.
Fantasy Sports today.
And good afternoon. Welcome in Fantasy Sports today. Craig Mish, Joe Pizzapia on Twitter. You could follow us without a doubt on Twitter at Craig Mish, at Joe Pizzapia 17. Our producer, once again, as always, Sean Guastamacchia, as we recap everything that happened in week 7 in fantasy football. We'll go through all the games one by one, take a look at some of the box scores. There are some injuries to get to as well. And Joe, some points scored this weekend, some fun games, some really good outcomes, some disappointing outcomes as well. We'll dive all into it today on the Monday show.
Yes, definitely some up and down. I think that's a very kind way of putting it. A lot of fun, a lot of bad, and an injury that you and I didn't get to talk about. And I feel like part of that injury on Thursday night was my fault because I got it right with the Chiefs. And it reminded me of that scene in Infinity War, which I don't know if you're familiar. I don't know if you're a Marvel guy. But it's that scene at the end where Thanos, and look, you've had enough time to watch them by now, but Thanos snaps his fingers and he says, and it gets rid of basically half the population. That's what happens. And the little girl, the little version of Gamora, comes up to him and says, "Did you do it?" And he says, "Yes." And she says, "And what did it cost you?" And he says, "Everything." And there you go. There it was. We finally got a win on Thursday night. I wasn't awful, and I ruined Patrick Mahomes. So you can blame me. You can heap all of your hatred on me. It's my fault. I'm sad.
Well, I wasn't going to do that today, but I know that you were. No, you know, certainly have. I think
I've got Mahomes
a lot of Mahomes. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's it. Yep. It cost me everything, Craig. Everything.
All right. Well, look. You know, you'll pick up Matt Moore or somebody else.
I picked up Tannehill.
Yeah, Tannehill. That was pretty much the high watermark. But we'll get to that in a minute as we dive into fantasy. By the way, We're here for 2 hours every day from noon to 2 Eastern. Make sure that you tune in, like, subscribe, and make sure you listen to our podcast. Got some good comments over the weekend from people that listen to us as well. And so let's dive right into it. There is one quarterback that is not available on the waiver wire that looks like he's having a renaissance. And it's time, I think, at this point to maybe take a fresh look at Aaron Rodgers, Joe, who had an absolute career day against the Raiders with 5 passing touchdowns and I believe a rushing touchdown as well. 40-plus fantasy points, basically the best quarterbacking day of his career, the best fantasy quarterbacking day of anybody in 2019. And I wonder if this is a sign of things to come. Maybe it just took some time with Matt LaFleur, but certainly it looked like this was setting up for a running day for Green Bay. It was nothing of the sort. They were throwing all over the place. Valdes-Scantling, who didn't do anything in the first half and wasn't even supposed to play, ended up having a great game. And boy, a completely different script played out. But Aaron Rodgers owners all of a sudden are like, wow, like this is who I thought I drafted at the beginning of the season.
This was a very trying week for fantasy analysts and good fantasy analysts, too, because all the data that you've had to work with so far pointed in a lot of specific directions of this being a good play, this being a bad play, this being this kind of game. And a lot of that got flipped on its ear because it's sports and that's what makes it fun. And that's what makes it exciting. And that's what makes it something that we ever try to chase, not to predict, but at least try to inform everybody. And this was a difficult one because Aaron Rodgers, if you watched on Monday, not too happy. Everything that was going wrong could. Oakland Raiders come to town. Everything that could possibly go right went right. And I think the biggest takeaway from this one was Aaron Rodgers, I guess, finally realized that, look, it doesn't matter if I'm trying to do this. It's not like if I've got Davante Adams and I want to throw him the ball specifically, I can't do that with anybody else on the offense. All I can do is go back to playing the position of quarterback, which is something, you know, this is Drew Brees 101. Find the open man. And that's what he did all day. He found the open guy all day long. He wasn't trying to force a ball to anyone in particular because basically he didn't have a preference anymore. And I think when he finally settled into that groove, and certainly the Oakland secondary was very, very helpful in that fact, it was a brilliant thing to watch and a reminder that Aaron Rodgers still has some of those big days in him. Now, will this carry over? I don't know. I don't think any of us know for sure, but it was a great week. Hopefully you had him playing and I don't think you would ever sit Aaron Rodgers. But at the same time, I don't know if we can expect a lot of 400 days. This is probably the best day you're going to see of Aaron Rodgers in the next 3 years, I would imagine. So take it, be happy with it. And hopefully next week we'll see what happens next.
Yeah, I mean, that was the best day of his entire career. I don't think that you'll see any game ever like this, but even if he's 2 touchdowns and 300 yards,
it was of his entire career. That's interesting because you would think with all that big Aaron Rodgers
game. Close. Nothing close. This was the best day by far of his career, so for sure.
Well, good for him. Good for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, the other thing that I found interesting yesterday watching and wondering to myself, and again, look, when it comes to the Patriots who will play tonight and we'll preview that game, it's clear at this point that they're the favorite to win the Super Bowl. In fact, they're about 2.5 to 1, which is incredible at this stage of the year to see a favorite that's that close. Usually it's 4 to 1 is like the maximum that you would have in the NFL. But watching the Ravens play yesterday against Seattle, kind of I thought to myself, Joe, like this may be the one player that if New England can't figure out how to stop this guy, this is the one guy in Lamar Jackson that I could see. Now, historically speaking, that's what New England's been best at, is stopping the one guy. But I don't know that there is stopping this guy.
Like, well, they've stopped the running quarterback in the past too. That's been because they've always had the kind of linebackers that were good with the spy technique kind of stuff where they were able to really kind of corral them in and make them stay in the pocket.
There's no threat in the AFC though. There is none.
No, there isn't, but you're 100% right. I think I have the same
guy. This could be the guy.
Oh, there's absolutely every aspect of that could be the guy. And I had the same exact thought watching it. It was like, well, he's the one dude. And I'll tell you what, if there was ever a swing in an MVP race too, where you start to think, you know, cause I was right here batting the table. Hey, this is a chance for Russell Wilson to put another notch to that MVP belt, another piece on the resume, beat the Ravens, and Lamar Jackson on that 4th-and-2 coming back out on the field and not only getting it, but also score that touchdown, man, that was impressive stuff. And you start to go, wow, where would the Ravens be without him? And I shudder to think of where they would be without Lamar Jackson. He is that team.
Yeah, their defense isn't great, and they did lose that game to the Browns. They got smashed, but because the AFC competition is so thin that you know you get into a one-game spot where if this guy goes berserk, I could see it happening. And really, to me, that's the only team that I see at this point that has any chance of even knocking them off. It's just I'm not looking for someone to do it. I'm just looking for a reason to keep the AFC interested. Now, look, in the NFC, you know, Green Bay has played very well, and the Saints have played well, and you never know how another team could fare. New England, by the way, in Super Bowls usually performs, but the games tend to be close. But this is the one guy. It's a little bit of a wild card for me because I don't think that I've seen anybody this dominant running the ball from the quarterback position since Vic or Steve Young. I mean, he's been.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Cunningham was something a lot of people weren't prepared for in that era of football. But again, you could hit him. So that's something you can't do to Lamar Jackson. I think that's the difference. You're playing in an era where all of a sudden now that guy, when he is out in space, it's just you're so afraid to hit him because of the penalties, because of everything else. There's no message sending to Lamar Jackson. So he is far more dangerous in this era than he would have been in any other era, too. I mean, John Elway, I mean, there's been rushing quarterbacks before. I mean, Elway was a handful because he really could throw the ball out of the pocket, too. But he's been brilliant. I also wonder, Craig, are we at a point where we can finally say that Seattle's home field advantage, the vaunted home field advantage and how tough a building it is, maybe that's gone. Is that a thing of the past? Because they maybe have not looked good at home this year.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, look, for them to only be 3-point favorites in that game told you something going
two in. Losses, and they almost lost to the Bengals week one at home. So
yeah, strange outcome there. And if there isn't talent in the AFC, it's very top heavy. The NFC seems to have a bunch of teams that could take the reins of it. The Vikings won big yesterday, Joe. The Saints, I mean, the huge surprise for them to do what they've done without Drew Brees. They just keep amazing. Rolling. So those two teams, no matter what, at this point, have to be contenders. And, you know, look, I think at least as the NFC gets closer to the end, it's going to be real exciting to watch because the offenses and defenses are playing very well.
No, yeah, absolutely. You could certainly make a case that the NFC is the favorite to win the Super Bowl, period. You know, as much as the Pats might be to get there in the AFC, that I don't know if any of these AFC teams match what the Saints have done, maybe even what the 49ers have done, but the Vikings seem to be very dangerous. We'll see how bad that Adam Thielen injury is. I would be shocked if he plays Thursday. If he does, I don't know if that's the best idea. You should probably be able to win that game anyway against the Redskins, but we'll find out soon enough. But the NFC looked really strong yesterday.
We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll start diving into all the games on Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, along with Joe Pizzapia, will begin with a career day for Aaron Rodgers. Don't go away.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Salesforce presents a mini meditation. Close your eyes and let your video conference calls fade away. Ignore the voices drifting from your laptop. Forget how your chin looks from this angle. And focus on what really matters, your customer. On your path to customer success, focus your teams with a single 360-degree view of your customer with Salesforce Customer 360. Find customer focus at salesforce.com/360.
Hi, this is Bowen Yang here, and if you're as excited as I am about the upcoming fourth season of Search Party on HBO Max, then you'll want to tune in to Search Party, the podcast. I'm sitting down with the creators and stars of the dark comedy to delve deeper into the disturbing world inhabited by Dory, Drew, Elliot, and Portia. And to help us discuss Search Party's most prominent themes, we're inviting a very special celebrity fan to join each chat. Folks like Paul Scheer, Vanessa Bayer, Busy Phillips, Taryn Killam, and Carrie Brownstein, among many others. I couldn't be more excited to talk with these folks about one of my favorite shows on TV. So join us as we review classic moments, share behind-the-scenes anecdotes, and analyze the complex characters and unpredictable plot lines that make the series oh so much fun. Search Party Season 4 comes to HBO Max on January 14th. Meanwhile, be sure to subscribe to Search Party, the podcast, which premieres December 14th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pizzapia. Fantasy Sports Today presents
first play from scrimmage.
The opening drive.
The first play of the game.
From the opening play and all the way for a touchdown.
This is the opening drive on this Monday, October 21st, 2019. Craig Mish, Joe Pizzapia, running down everything that's happening in fantasy sports, in reality sports, and even in a little bit of pop culture. So let's get the ball rolling here a little bit. Our first down play, got to start at the top, Joe. 49ers, they are 6-0. It was an ugly game. The field was wet. These guys were just slogging around. This was more of a red zone game for me than watching the entire game. I kept flipping in. Nothing was happening. Flipping in. Nothing was happening. So, there's got to be better games to watch than this one. Bottom line, they're 6-0. And right now, without a doubt, they have the best defense, maybe in the NFC, if not the NFL. But you got to give them credit where it's due. Some teams are playing tough, especially these poor teams. Dolphins play tough with Buffalo. Washington hung in there with San Francisco. Cincinnati for three quarters hung in there with Jacksonville. But look, the good teams are coming out on top. San Francisco was one of them again yesterday.
Well, the panic level that set in the first quarter or so of that game in Buffalo. Oh, I can tell you, as a survivor pool owner, because basically it was like San Fran and Buffalo were probably the most popular picks remaining on the board. And oh my goodness, there was some real cause for concern, a lot of nail biting in that one. But 49ers played on a slip and slide. It was a fun game in that aspect to watch about guys just not being able to move if you enjoy the follies, which I always like the follies. You ever like the NFL follies when they used to
remember those
things on ESPN too?
Sure.
Oh, good times. Those are a simpler age. But hey, 49ers got the W. We should you kind of throw this game out because of the weather. I mean, I don't know how much you can really take away from this other than there's a stigma. I feel like sometimes it always floated around the 49ers from them being kind of the wine and cheese team, you know, from Northern California. They're a little soft, all this stuff. I don't think you could say that about this team. I think this defense is very gritty. I think that this was important for them to go into a crappy weather situation in a rain and soaked field and go out there and put up a W in the mud. I think this was a really good character builder for them. I still think they're the third or maybe fourth best team in the NFC. I really do, despite the record. But I give them all the credit in the world. I think this was an important win for them because you want to prove to everybody, hey, we can win not only on the road, but we can win in bad conditions. Now they got to win in bad conditions against a good football team. You know, I don't know if they're going to go into the snow at some point and play. We'll find out, but probably unlikely unless they end up in Green Bay in the playoffs at some point. But hey, a win is a win, right? 6-0 49ers, you got to love it. I mean, they've basically locked up a playoff spot, I feel like. I mean, it's going to be really hard for them to miss the playoffs at this point.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And listen, the important thing for them will be getting a home game, too, in December.
Yeah,
that
looks
like they're heading that direction. All right, second down, boy, interesting in the NFC West as well. The Cardinals, who are really coming on, I would not eliminate them from anything at this point, but eliminate them from telling us the truth, that's for sure. David Johnson, who was iffy going into the week, was upgraded on Friday to having a full practice, and then basically, all of a sudden, it appeared early part of the game, and then Chase Edmonds went off very quickly for two touchdowns. Then he threw up on the sideline, then he came back in the game, scored another touchdown. After the game, the offensive coordinator of the Cardinals basically said, we weren't going to play David Johnson. He was more of an emergency option. And of course, that just triggered everybody in fantasy, you know, blaming the Cardinals, blaming the beat writers, blaming people that cover the game. How could they not know? Man, you know, it's really interesting from my perspective, Joe, because in the one hand, I'm a fantasy analyst. So I do understand the angst that people will have toward beat writers and toward not getting the proper information. But I got to tell you, sitting on the other side, none of these people who are ripping the beat writers have ever been a beat writer. Like, you don't understand how that works. It is very hard to acquire
it's hard.
This kind of information. And so,
and that kind of trust, more than information. It's the trust to tell you, yeah, you know,
so
he might be a decoy.
It's crazy to me to see that, because if you take, you know, somebody who has never covered a team before and has never been in a locker room or has never been in a clubhouse and say, go cover it, here's a mic, here's a press pass, you'll be pooping in your pants the first few times you do it. Oh, my God.
Now, we've gotten vomit and diarrhea here in the same segment. This is really high-class radio.
So, honestly, I understand it from the fantasy point of view, but you don't know what it's like to have to cover a team and try and parse information from these people.
No, or deal with the egos and the people in between.
It's very difficult.
It's very difficult.
And on a baseball level, you obviously know this is how
the grind of how many times you have to be in that locker room.
Yeah, to have to try to get information, it is not easy. And so I don't blame the beat writers at all. I understand that fantasy analysts are upset, but you can't put yourself in the shoes of these people who are trying to acquire information from the team. And so disappointing result for sure. I think more of the takeaway for me, Joe, is that how do you not play this guy Edmonds moving forward? I think that's probably
I'll put on two hats here. First, the hat of great job by the Cardinals, because they fooled me and Edmonds was the guy and the Giants weren't prepared for it and I wasn't prepared for it. And they care about W's. They don't care about your football team. So good job by them not leaking information like, oh, yeah, he's just going to be an emergency guy, because that changes a big deal what you do or your expectations. If you're on the field and you see no David Johnson, that's going to change, I think, what you do on defense, because I don't think you have quite reached that stage where you have the same level of respect for Chase Edmonds that you do for David Johnson. That's fair. I'm not taking anything away from Chase Edmonds. It's just he hasn't done it as much as DJ has. Now, as a fantasy analyst, I'm the guy thrown up on the sidelines, because This made me ill because I had DJ everywhere because I knew whoever was running the football against the Giants was going to have a huge day. And I could not be more irritated that it was Chase Edmonds. And I'm really more irritated at myself because leading up to it on Sunday's show, as I'm going through the news, and I'm going through these things, all that was in the back of my head is this. You know, maybe I should change one or two of these DFS shares out from DJ to Edmonds just to be sure. Just to be sure, because there's something stinky here and whatever it is. And you know what? I didn't do it. And in retrospect, it was the wrong move. And look, that was if you had Chase Edmonds, you made some money yesterday, and that sucks. And you're right, in terms of season-long fantasy, as a flex play going forward, it seems like he has a really good trust level with Kyler Murray. It seems like they're in lockstep, and it seems like they are starting to find an identity on offense, which is, I think, is the most important thing. And that identity is not Larry Fitzgerald anymore, by the way. You can let go of that, too. Boy, is that gone south quick.
It has. But yeah, Edmonds is a Kingsbury guy. Remember, this is a new regime guy. Don't dismiss that either. That's part of the equation. That's not to say David Johnson at one point wasn't an elite running back in the NFL. But remember, the shelf life for running backs having good years in the NFL is 2 to 3 years. And that's it. There are always those guys
every
once in a while.
Time every year.
Yeah, I mean, this is the reality of the game. And we're seeing it all over the league. And look, for every Adrian Peterson or Devonta Freeman who's been around for a long time, there's a Damian Williams who has a couple of years and gone. I mean, this is just part of the NFL. This is part of that.
Well, that's kind. I don't think Damian Williams even had a full year, but yes, you're right.
Yeah, I mean Damian Williams next year could be nowhere. I mean, it's possible. And coming off a great year. All right, baseball, no, we'll see. The Astros are the biggest favorite in almost two decades over the Nationals. Look, I mean, the Astros...
That's bizarre to me.
Yeah,
in
just,
two decades?
Yeah, a long time it's been. And look,
with all that
just,
pitching?
What, on Washington
on
side?
On the Nats side. Yeah, well, I mean, how many teams can walk in there with
Scherzer and Strasburg? If you want. Yeah,
look, I'm just saying, how many times have you seen an underdog with three legitimate Cy Young candidates and they're the biggest underdog in two decades? That's crazy to me.
Yeah. Look, the Houston's, they're just studs all over the place, Joe.
You know me. I've got my Jose Altuve Game of Thrones bobblehead sitting here right 2 feet away from me at the desk right now. So nobody loves Jose Altuve, and I'm enjoying the Astros run. I think it's been great. It's a fun team to root for if you're a baseball fan. But I don't know. You're a baseball guy. You know momentum is only as good as the next day starting pitcher, right? That's truth. So how can it be such a vast favorite when you have three fantastic pitchers on the other side of this game? That's fascinating to me.
I think when you get into a game seven situation, Houston wins. And that's just like when we're talking about a series, that's the bottom line. Like Houston got into that situation in game six with the Yankees. They'll get into game seven. They'll still have Verlander. They'll still have Greinke. They'll still have Cole. And so, and with the hitting they have, look, I understand, and your take is fine on that. The Washington definitely had all the momentum. They've had a week off before they're playing a game, but you know, for me, it does make some sense. I can't see Washington to doing this to the Astros, but you know, we'll see. That's why they play these things. All right, finally, Florida Atlantic head coach Lane Kiffin was fined $5,000, Joe, for making fun of the refs on Twitter, showing a bunch of blind guys in a tweet, and $5,000 out of the pocket of Lane Kiffin at FAU, Joe.
How about another grand for a lame tweet? Like just for really the blind referee? Is that the best we can do? How does this clown still get employed everywhere? It gives me hope for you and me that no matter how stupid we are, you and I will always find work because Lane Kiffin somehow still gets a job. People want to talk about like favoritism and all these things, right? His daddy was a hell of a football coach, you know? What the hell's Lane Kiffin ever done besides ruin everything he touches?
No, FAU's a good. He's brought a lot of attention to FAU. He does. He has. I give him credit for that. Now, with the previous places, not so much, especially with Alabama.
Yeah.
All right. What we got to do is we got to take a quick time out here on the show. We'll come back. We'll dive into the box scores. Fantasy Sports Today coming back right after this.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
These days, it feels like we're on 24/7. Between work, friends, family, and a million things piling up left and right, the nonstop hustle has taken over. And it's kind of a lot. Sure, rise and grind is all fine and dandy, but sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as refreshing and crisp as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. So when you want to hit reset, reach for Coors Light, the only beer that is mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light in their new look, delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia. The Monday Replay. Help you get number. The Monday Replay.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Welcome back. It is Fantasy Sports Today. You want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Well, then join DailyRoto.com. Learn from the best daily fantasy sports players, get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL, DFS line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the Daily Roto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you're playing daily fantasy hockey without using Daily Roto, you are doing it wrong. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRoto.com is where millionaires are made. And with the hockey season in full swing and the NBA just about to tip off their regular season, it is a great time for sports. We've got college basketball starting up in about 3 weeks, which is probably like my third favorite of all of the sports. So I can't wait for that to get started. I got to start doing my research on that, no doubt. All right, didn't require a lot of research yesterday for what happened between the Packers and Raiders. Aaron Rodgers, 429, 5 passing touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown, 40 plus points in fantasy, highest quarterback fantasy day of the season for anyone. Aaron Jones, 50 rushing yards, 33 receiving yards. Valdez Scantling wasn't going to play. Then he did. Then he didn't. Then he did. That's basically the story. He didn't do anything in the first half. 2 catches, 133 touchdown, all in the second half. Huge catch that he had for a touchdown at the end of the game. Jimmy Graham, I don't know how he does it, keeps proving me wrong. 4 for 65 in a touch. Jamal Williams also caught a receiving touchdown. David Carr, 293 on the side of the Raiders, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 1 huge fumble running into the end zone. Should have known better than to kind of throw the ball in there, and it was a touchback. That kind of moved the game in Green Bay's direction.
It did.
Not sure. Yeah, you never know how things could change.
Well, it's a momentum swing. Football is such a momentum one. And that was definitely a big moment. I think the other takeaway, 8 different players on the Packers with 2 or more catches. So that goes back to the earlier point I made in the first segment, which is this is the Aaron Rodgers that can become a fantasy nightmare again for opponents when he starts playing like this, as opposed to trying to funnel the guy to a specific dude, you know, funnel the ball to a specific dude over and over again. Plus all 5 touchdowns all went to different receivers too, and or running back. So it wasn't like one dude just had a huge day. That was, this was about as good as you can get playing the position of quarterback. And it was good to see Aaron Rodgers get back to that for whatever reason it is. Now, I don't know when or if we're going to get Adams back. I guess the frustrating thing is, had he just had the surgery, he probably would have been back already, but he didn't want to do that. So he had the rehab, and instead now he's missing more time. So I don't know, man. It's pretty frustrating right now if you're a Davante Adams owner. I don't know what you do.
Yeah. Well, they keep winning. What's the point? They may as well just wait until he.
Well, that's what makes it worse. You keep winning football games and they keep going, oh, don't worry about it. Just get right. Just get right. And from a fantasy owner standpoint, it might be time to cut bait and take what you can get.
Jacobs, 21 for 124, got off to a great start. The game script changed, and then that was more or less it for him, but he's been a star. Waller has been the best fantasy tight end, no doubt about that. 7 catches, 126, 2 touchdowns, and then Moreau ended up having a touchdown. And look, as good as Green Bay has played, I've been wrong about them a lot this season, including this game here. I thought the Raiders would also keep it close. To me, it's yes, the Green Bay came alive, and they scored 6 touchdowns in this game. But Joe, no one can ever predict what the Raiders are going to do on a week to week
basis. Nope.
It is impossible. It's impossible. I mean, you could this was a perfect spot for them.
You're right.
I mean, an absolute perfect spot. So let's kind of recap here. The Raiders go to Indianapolis, smash the Colts in the face. They go to London. They go up 17-0 on the Bears. The Bears come back to take the lead 21-17. And then they come back to win that game. And then with 2 weeks off, they lay a dud against Green Bay. I mean,
they lay a dud against Green Bay. And then next week they go to Houston. So they play the Texans. So watch, they'll be within a point there. I don't know, man.
You're very unpredictable. But you're right.
Waller was brilliant. It was nice to see Waller get some touchdowns too, because as good of a PPR tight end he's been a little negligent in the touchdown category. So yeah, it's been Mark Andrews. It's been Austin Hooper. It's been Darren Waller. Those are the guys who've been carrying the workload over there at tight end. And now with the Mahomes injury too, God knows where we're going to have Kelsey. And that's going to be tricky for sure.
Yeah. All right. The Rams got healthy against the Falcons, like every other team in the NFL. Not sure how I feel about the Rams even after this, but they did do what they were supposed to do, I suppose, against Atlanta, who is just completely done. Jared Goff, a solid game, 268 and two touchdowns. Didn't look like that early. He had to kind of navigate that early and then came on late. Todd Gurley, another tough one for him. It's trending toward the end, unfortunately. 18 for 41. He did catch a touchdown once
again.
Nice
catch, too, by the way. Just saying, you know, it was a nice catch. It was a nice catch.
I know.
Don't you get style points in your league? I get style points in mine.
It is so sad to see this demise for him.
This is where we are. This is it right now.
He is carrying those touchdowns with you, and you are not complaining. And as long as he keeps doing this and plays the Marcus Allen role, give him the ball on the one, give him the ball in the red zone, fine. Just take it to the end of the year and don't ever draft this guy ever again. Henderson was a dud also, 11 for 31. In fact, so much so that they took him out of the game late, too, and they started running the ball with John Kelly because they were up so big. They were saving both these guys. Woods, 5 for 80. Cooks, 4 for 59. Everett's been pretty solid, 4 for 50. A big star, by the way, yesterday. Greg Zuerlein kicked a 55-yard field goal. If you get bonus points for 50s and three field goals, he had a great day for you. For the Falcons, Matt Ryan, 167 and an interception. He left hurt. I couldn't believe I forgot Matt Schaub was in the league. Threw for 100 yards and a touchdown.
Matt Schaub didn't realize he was in the league either.
Yeah. Julio Jones, great day, 6 for 93. Hooper, no catches first half. Second half, 4 for 46 and a touchdown. And, of course, Devonta Freeman's career and season just keeps sliding. 19 yards for him, threw a punch, got kicked out of the game. And that's the kind of thing as a fantasy owner that you're just...
Horrible, especially coming off the first well-rounded all-purpose game of the year last week. You're like, okay, this is great. Like, we were used to getting Devonta Freeman this year, just getting yards, luckily, in the passing game, and he wasn't rushing the football. Then you had Ito Smith kind of, you know, freak out. And then you go, okay, here's Devonta Freeman script, and then he gets thrown out of the damn game. You get that happening. You get the injury to Matt Ryan, and I mean, it's over for Dan Quinn and the Falcons. It is just over, and it's just it's kind of sad. I mean, this was a team that was, you know, MVP quarterback, you know, looping the field, going to the Super Bowl, and then a couple years later, now look where we're at. I mean, it's just awful.
Yeah, even though the Eagles, we'll talk about them in a minute, even though the Eagles haven't played that well overall in the season, I think we can agree. You wonder how the Falcons beat the Eagles in that Sunday night game back in September. Like, you even wonder how they got any win.
Well, that was another one of those games where it was like a bounce here and there. Remember, towards the end of that game, too, there was a couple weird momentum changes, if memory serves, in the fourth quarter. So, look, it's they did it at home, at least. Like, it was in Atlanta, so you should win the home game. You know, but it's Falcons are... This was it. You know, this was the end. You know, because the Rams needed this game, certainly. But we can say that about the last couple games for the Rams. So that's been frustrating. So good job by them. They bounced back, did what they were supposed to do. And the Falcons, I think, have just completely imploded on themselves. And that was a sad day for Atlanta Falcons fans.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I gained any more trust in the Rams, but I definitely there's like a zero trust factor now with the Falcons. And certainly if Matt Ryan is out, they're saying that, you know, we're doing the show, we don't know the answer to that. And I'm guessing today we will find out.
They haven't said a high ankle sprain. It just said sprain right now. And the fact that he's walking off.
There's no reason to even play him, but they may, you know, who knows. But either way, Julio Jones is probably the only guy you would play in that entire lineup at this point. I don't think, or Hooper actually.
No,
maybe
I saw Hooper. And I would still, if Matt Ryan's on the field, I would still be looking at the matchups for Calvin Ridley, because up until last week, the last 2 weeks have been very good for Calvin Ridley. So just keep that in mind, too.
Without Ryan,
that's different.
Yeah, Jones is the only one. Maybe Hooper.
And could you imagine if he's out a significant period of time? That's another big time wide receiver you have to downgrade in a year that feels like that's all we've done is take number one wide receivers. Juju, Devontae Adams, Antonio Brown, this goes on. Tyreek Hill missed time. Just Hopkins. downgrade. Crazy. Yeah. Hopkins been all underwhelming.
Oh yeah, all of them. Yeah, it's been that kind of year.
Worst all first round ever.
Bills beat the Dolphins 31-21. This game was really tight for a while. Dolphins led this one actually going into the fourth quarter. And then, of course, it became the Dolphins. So Kyle Allen had a really good second half. 202 yards, two touchdowns. Frank Josh Gore, Allen. Not much of anything. Josh Allen, excuse me.
All right.
Gore, 11 for 55. Singletary came back, and at least we saw him. John Brown, five catches, 83 yards and a touchdown. And Cole Beasley caught a touchdown after a disappointing game last week. Came back to give you about 10 points. Fitz for Miami, 283, a touchdown and a pick. Walton, it looks like the new running back in Miami for whatever that's worth, 14 carries, 66 yards. Kalen Ballage scored a touchdown. Devontae Parker, who Miami's trying to move, 5 for 50 yards and a touchdown. Preston Williams, 6 for 82. And look, with Fitzpatrick, it gives Miami some hope, Joe. But look, I mean, the bottom line is that until they play Cincinnati, you're just not playing any Dolphins in fantasy. And for Buffalo, they don't have sexy matchups either. But you know that you pretty much in a bye week can count on a few of the guys that they have on their team. And that's about it.
Yeah, look, it's Walton is the takeaway here. I definitely think on the Miami Dolphins side, 14 for 66, not stunning, but, you know, pretty good, decent day. He had one 19-yard run. And if he's going to be the guy going forward, as Kenyon Drake slips down to 6 carries in this one, that's something to take notice of, especially a lot of teams are hurting at the running back position. A lot of teams are hurting everywhere, and bye weeks are still floating around. So that's definitely one to take on. And Singletary getting 11 carries here was surprising. I didn't know if he was going to get that many. That's almost as many as he's gotten the entire season in this game. So that was good just to get him back on the field. Frank Gore was surprisingly underwhelming in this game for me. 11 for 55. I expected way more. Now, granted, they were a little bit behind early on, but I'm still surprised that that was all Frank Gore got. I thought this was going to be much more Frank Gore. And maybe that's where they went wrong early on. I don't know. All I know is even though it was dicey in the beginning, it ended up being what it was supposed to be, which was a Dolphins loss and a Bills win. So good job by the Bills to kind of, I think it just came out flat from the bye a little bit, but they figured it out.
Yeah, and I think with the running back situation, I think that now we will start to see Singletary play a little bit more. It's just, look, we're in week 8, though. You know, like, that's just kind of the problem is that you have a guy, and this has happened with a lot of the running backs in fantasy this year, the second year in a row where it's been a complete disaster as far as trying to plant your flag and say, I think this rookie running back is going to be great, or I think that running you've been wrong on all of them. They've all been bad this year, except for Jacobs. Jacobs is the one that seems now to have carved out a role with the Raiders. He's probably the only one.
And yet he's at the mercy of game script of the Raiders, which is a terrifying thought when you go week to week as you just did.
Dynasty leagues, they're guys to own. Redraft leagues this year, you're in trouble. No question.
Yeah, knock him in a good class.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a short time out here on Fantasy Sports Today. Among the things we'll discuss in the next segment, what in the world with Kirk Cousins? Wow, he's come alive to be great again. Also, the Jaguars and Bengals go at it, and this one turns out to be a close game for about 3 quarters, and then someone implodes, and then, not much fantasy with the 49ers and Redskins, but we'll touch on that game coming up next. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Bish and Joe Pizzapia, don't go away.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in. Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better help. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals, at Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
I want people to think about the healthcare workers. You know, we can say, I'll take the risk. I'll get on a plane and go see my family for Thanksgiving because that's important to me. I'll take the risk. If I get sick, it'll be fine. The problem with that is that you don't have a choice if you're going to get sick or not. And maybe you won't get sick, but you don't have a choice as to who you'll infect. And we don't have a choice if they'll die or they'll live.
That's Fiona Tulip, a grieving daughter who lost her mother to COVID-19. Fiona wants to make sure her mother, a Latina frontline worker from Texas, is more than just a number scrolling on the newsfeed.
We've got to think about the people who are working and risking their lives to save our lives. And we have to remember that we don't have a choice into how this virus acts. We can't choose whether it infects us or infects someone else, and we can't choose if we stay alive or if we die.
I'm Justin Beck, founder and CEO of Contact World. Listen to Contact World, the podcast, on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
And welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Joe Pisapia with you here on the Monday edition of the show. And we'll get to everything going on in the world of fantasy. According to Ian Rappaport, Matt Ryan is dealing with a sprained right ankle. And so, according to the quote, it's a managed injury. Who knows whether or not Ryan will play this week? And that will have to be something that here on this show we will cover starting tomorrow and Wednesday. But for now, we move on to some of the other games in fantasy, which included the Vikings putting their stamp on their season. They looked like the Vikings that we thought they would be at the beginning of the year. 42 points against the Lions. Wow. Lions put up 30. Kirk Cousins red hot now. All of a sudden, last 3 weeks, 337 and four touchdowns. Adam Thielen is another big story, of course, in fantasy. He saved your day with a touchdown but got hurt. Stephon Diggs gets an immediate upgrade after the developments from yesterday for sure. Seven catches, 142 yards. This is back-to-back really good games from him. Dalvin Cook is a monster. If you were redrafting right now, he'd be your second pick overall in fantasy, without a doubt. 25, 142, two touchdowns. I still would take McCaffrey first. I'd take Cook second, though.
I'll tell you what, some fantastic runs, too, like some real strong running. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we're talking breaking tackles. We're talking, you know, making cuts. We're talking, like, the kinds of extra yardage that makes you a fantasy stud. So it's not just like, oh, he's just enormous holes and he's just running amok. No, no, no. He is making his own path many times, especially that one run down by the goal too, where it was a play to the right and he just stopped, ran into the lineman basically, and then turned around and just ran the other way and scored the touchdown. It was a magnificent day for Dalvin Cook if you love watching great running backs play.
Yeah, I would want McCaffrey first. I would want Cook second. I probably would take Barkley three, and then I would take Lamar Jackson four. I don't care what kind of league it's in, quarterback or not. I want Lamar 100 yards every single week from a quarterback rushing the ball. I mean, this guy's on pace for 1,500 yards. We'll get to him in a second. Irv Smith, this is going to be an interesting name if Thielen is out. So let's circle that one for now. He had five catches for 60 yards, and then Kyle Rudolph woke up from his slumber and scored a touchdown. For the Lions, I think that we're trending in this direction. It's another year, another season of the Lions going the wrong way. Not surprising. Matthew Stafford, though, great game for him. 364, four touchdowns, one pick. The annual Marvin Jones blow-up game was yesterday. Four touchdowns for him. Best game of the season for any receiver. 10 catches, 93 yards. Amendola, 8 for 105. Kenny Golladay will probably take the Jones touchdowns next week, but for this week, he was the dud, 4 for 28. And then Kerryon Johnson, who got hurt in this game, was 5 for 23. And then Ty Johnson ended up playing. Never heard of this guy, but Ty Johnson had 10 carries in the game. So that's another injury that we'll talk about a little later, Joe, that we'll have to keep an eye on, because certainly Kerryon Johnson one of the more solid RB2s out there that you could play on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, solid if not unspectacular. That's the way he's been, and that's fine. I think we'll take that. We'll take the guy that just shows up. But Stafford, also the youngest player ever to reach 40,000 yards, so that's an impressive feat when you step back and realize some of the great quarterbacks that have played during this era, and that he's the youngest to ever reach that. It also says a lot about the Lions playing from behind.
Always. But
I would say this, Craig Mish. You and I, a few weeks ago, spent 13 minutes, an entire segment, on what's wrong with Kirk Cousins, and I think we fixed him. I think this was your idea. It was you. You were the guy saying, let's do a whole segment about Kirk Cousins. Let's figure out what's going on and if people are overreacting, whatever it is. And we did the deep dive, and it's funny, ever since, man, he's been right as rain. So you're welcome, Minnesota Vikings fans. Craig Mish brought to you the segment that is, it's time to fix Kirk Cousins and figure out what the hell's going on. And we did. And sometimes maybe we had to just unplug him and plug him back in. That tends to be what happens with quarterbacks sometimes.
It just didn't make sense that he would be that bad. It just didn't make sense. And
I think it was a confidence thing.
I think they just completely changed after that week. They said, you know what? We can't make him into something that he's not. And you know what? He's not. He's not a winner. And so he's going to get to the playoffs, Joe. He's going to lose. He's going to throw three or four picks. It's going to happen. But in fantasy, do we care? No. So we want those touchdowns. The only difference between Cousins and Winston is that Cousins doesn't throw five picks and fumble three times every game. He just does it once in a while. And he will do that. And it will be in the first round or the second round of the playoffs, and that will be the end of Minnesota. But for now, you ride this wave while you can. And conversely, Joe, I got to tell you, at this point, I'm telling you now, I think the Lions are headed for a big tailspin. I think this is where this is every year with this team. This is where it begins. And it runs right into Thanksgiving, and then they give you that turkey and they win, and then they just roll off three or four more losses. I don't know. I just do not have the confidence in this team. I know they got off to a really good start. I'm just not a believer. So
I don't know. I mean, I think this is you are not wrong in your assumption, because you've been down this road before. But I think the product you watched yesterday, I think they were just outclassed. And I think they were also kind of dragging the Monday night game along with them. It just felt like they were dragging that. The fans were all dragging that Monday night game with them. And you got to just dust that off. And at the end of the day, that's not something that's going to help you win today. You know, you can't keep living in the past of what should have been, could have been, all that stuff. And it just seems like they couldn't let that go. And look, you lose arguably your best offensive player in Kerryon Johnson. It's not a good day. Like, that's not going to stack up for you. They've played better, but you know what? If they go south, you can also kind of hang that on the fact that they lost their running back for a significant period of time too, but they have been more competitive overall, even in the losses. And if they, let's say they beat the Chiefs, let's say that weird touchdown where the guy picked it up and ran back 99
yeah,
yards.
Yeah, that happened. Was a weird one. Yeah.
Let's say that didn't happen. And let's say they got the right call there against the Packers. All of a sudden, this is a very different situation here for the Lions with a winning record, with a 4-2 kind of record, or 4-2-1. That's a very different scenario, I think. And I think there's only so many times a team can get, I don't know. I'm trying to find the perfect word for it, but I don't know if there is one, but
unlucky,
disappointed, unlucky, whatever it is. I mean, and I think there's only so many times you can have that happen and bounce back from it.
Right. Well, we'll see. They play the Giants this week. There's no excuses. They lose this one, then you know exactly where they're headed. They're playing at home against the Giants.
Agreed.
All right, Jacksonville took on Cincinnati yesterday, and the Bengals actually played very close for a while with this game. Minshew threw for 255 and a touchdown, also ran the ball relatively well. Leonard Fournette has really come on. He's been very good in the fantasy world and reality world. Another 131 yards for him. Dede Westbrook had a monster game, by the way, too, in this one. Six catches, 103 yards. It looked pretty good. Chark took a back seat in this one, 3 for 53. Now, Dalton had arguably, to me, the worst three passes in the history of football that I've ever seen. Three consecutive passes that he threw were picked off. Like, this is like the Nathan Peterman territory here. I mean, he was fine in the first half. He didn't really do that much. But again, three consecutive interceptions. One was returned for a touchdown. I mean, I don't know what Cincinnati does, but how do you play a guy that does that? Mixon, 10 carries, 2 yards. He caught a touchdown, so that saved his day. This kid Erickson was open a lot for Cincinnati yesterday. He had six catches for 137 yards. Tate had 3 for 65. Boyd was wide receiver 3, fine, 5 for 55. A.J. Green, they had video of him warming up before the game. He looks fine. He doesn't want to play. So Green probably not going to play at all for the Bengals this season. There's just no reason. I don't know. The Bengals have this kid Finley, who they're talking about potentially using. I don't know that they want to do that because that is literally throwing this kid into some major fire. And I don't think that he is the future at quarterback for the Bengals, but
well, like, look,
Joe, they had a chance to win this game. Like, they were right there in the fourth quarter until this dude just started throwing ducks up. Like, I don't know what was going on in that.
He did. And look, from a fantasy perspective, though, he still dropped 18 points, which is staggering because he had the rushing touchdown. So that the rushing touchdown, the 4 for 33 on the ground, actually helped him quite a bit. That was an extra 9 points just kind of thrown into.
Reality, he should not be on the field.
Anymore. But this is the point I'm making is this, which is, you know, if you're in a two quarterback league and you own Andy Dalton, you should be very afraid because even though the stats showed up in terms of numbers and point totals, the play on the field was not good. So I think that's the exact point. The one you're making, I'm trying to translate into fantasy, is absolutely right. You need to start figuring out a better situation here, because I think I don't know if Finley's the answer. I think you kind of ride out the year with Andy Dalton. I would be surprised if they made a change of quarterback, maybe the last week of the season or something, just to give a kid a start. But I don't know. I think Dalton's been there so long. I think you just kind of owe it to him to ride it out, because you know you're terrible anyway. I don't think you have a better chance to win football games with the other kid. I just don't.
I don't think so either. Their offensive line also was missing another player who they suspended.
How about that Joe Mixon line? Can we talk about that? 10 carries for 2 yards.
It's a shame. I mean, this guy's bad. He's putting up the David Johnson numbers of last year.
I mean, another first round bust. I mean, I have.
Man, was Mixon first round in fantasy?
He was a late first round pick. Yeah, wow. Sure. A lot of people, late first round, early second, somewhere in that around the turn. He was in that same grouping discussion as Dalvin Cook. It's just, and Nick Chubb, like that. Those were the three guys. And the consensus will tell you, I can pull up the Fantasy Pros for you a second. Mixon was ranked 9th overall. This was as of August the 31st, it looks like, somewhere around there, like the late August. Joe Mixon, number 9 overall. Dalvin Cook, number 10 overall. Todd Gurley, number 11 overall. Nick Chubb, 12. Damian Williams, 13. Leonard Fournette, 14. So there you go.
Right, in running back rankings. But I think Mixon was a second round pick in a lot of
Mixon games. Was, I again, I do a lot of drafts. Mixon was a guy going as early as 9 and as late as the middle of the second round. It was one of those guys that people either had a reach on, or collectively a lot of owners in some leagues didn't. So sad.
At least he saved these guys. Some of these guys are saving their days with these garbage touchdowns, like he and Gurley. Like, they get a touchdown and you're like, oh, okay, at least I got my 10 points. It's like crazy. I mean, you never would have thought it would come down to that. It is.
this is what it's come to.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like it's every year with some of this luck, but in general with some of these guys in the first round for sure. All right, 49ers and Redskins, we don't need to spend a ton of time on this because for fantasy, there really wasn't much. It was nothing at the half. Garoppolo, I'm not really sure what you would do with him in any fantasy league. Like, the team's winning games, he's just not putting up any fantasy points. 151 yards and a pick. Tevin Coleman, all of a sudden in the second half, became the guy because Breida was in concussion protocol, but he came back and was okay. 20 carries, 62 yards. The bottom line is San Francisco ran the ball again 39 times. They're running the ball almost 40 times a game, so you know what the end-up score is going to be in this one. Goodwin had a concussion. He did not return. Kendall Bourne made an appearance, 3 for 69. Unfortunately for George Kittle, another down day, 3 for 39 for him. Adrian Peterson opened up the game for Washington with about 50 yards in the first quarter, and then the 49ers said no more of this. 20 for 81 on the day. Not terrible. Could have been worse. Case Keenum, only 77 yards passing. Terry McLaurin against the tough 49ers defense, unfortunately, only had one catch. I have nothing else to say.
I mean, I think the only thing you say in this one, it's just the rain. It's just it was just
their field also is horrible.
The field was terrible. So you're not wrong about Garoppolo. He's not necessarily the greatest fantasy quarterback. But I will say this: next week he's got the Panthers at home. Then after that, two of the next 3 weeks he's playing the Cardinals defense. So I would say this: if you are looking for a second quarterback, if you're a little worried about Andy Dalton, Jimmy Garoppolo is the perfect guy to get in this stretch because, yeah, the Panthers matchup, okay, you know, we could talk about that. Panthers show up, sometimes don't. It gets a little dicey, but it is at home. And the matchups he's got coming up, he's got the Seahawks in San Francisco, and then in between that, that game, I should say, the Seahawks are sandwiched in there outside of two Cardinals or the piece of bread on the either side. So that's a good thing. So there's going to be some good matchups here for him in the next couple months, the next month or so. So keep that in mind if you're looking for a quarterback to add on the cheap, especially after a down game like this in the rain.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people own Garoppolo. It's just playing him is the hard thing. People just are wanting more than they're getting from him.
Well, the hard part is the forecast-wise, too. I think everybody's like, okay, it's rain, and rain is not typically something that you overreact to. It was the condition of the field in that rain that was just unmanageable. I mean, they could not get any footing. It was just that they changed shoes a million times. Like, it was just a complete and utter disaster. So I always feel bad for the cleanup squad. Like, could you imagine that people have to clean the locker room after a game? Nobody talks about those people who do that kind of work. These are the things I think about.
There you go. Man of the people. We got the best of the first hour coming up next. Then we'll dive into the Cardinals and Giants. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. Hour number one wraps up after this.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
What do we mean by sales disruptors? Well, it's today's business leaders sharing their experience on how they manage through change, like...
So this is a great opportunity to sharpen your tools. In a down market where you're not making a lot of big changes, there's an opportunity to go back and clean up things that need attention. Everything has wear and tear, so there's a great opportunity to go back and get caught up.
Tune in to Sales Disruptors, an Exactly podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. When markets change, leaders must reinvent. We all know that's more important than ever. Sales Disruptors is a brand new podcast from Exactly, the global leader in helping businesses reinvent the way they manage sales. Join us for candid conversations with global business leaders on how to thrive no matter what the market throws at you. Sales Disruptors. Download today on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As we wrap up the first hour of the show, here's what you missed.
You and I, a few weeks ago, spent 13 minutes, an entire segment, on what's wrong with Kirk Cousins, and I think we fixed him. I think this was your idea. It was you. You were the guy saying, let's do a whole segment about Kirk Cousins. Let's figure out what's going on and if people are overreacting, whatever it is. And we did the deep dive, and it's funny, ever since, man, he's been right as rain. So you're welcome, Minnesota Vikings fans. Craig Mish brought to you the segment that is... It's time to fix Kirk Cousins and figure out what the hell's going on. And we did. And sometimes maybe we had to just unplug him and plug him back in. That tends to be what happens with quarterbacks sometimes.
It just didn't make sense that he would be that bad. It just didn't make sense. And I think it was a confidence thing. I think they just completely changed after that week. They said, you know what? We can't make him into something that he's not. And you know what? He's not. He's not a winner. And so he's going to get to the playoffs, Joe. He's going to lose. He's going to throw three or four picks. It's going to happen. But in fantasy, do we care? No. So we want those touchdowns. The only difference between Cousins and Winston is that Cousins doesn't throw five picks and fumble three times every game. He just does it once in a while. And he will do that. And it will be in the first round or the second round of the playoffs. And that will be the end of Minnesota. But for now, you ride this wave while you can. And conversely, Joe, I got to tell you, at this point, I'm telling you now, I think the Lions are headed for a big tailspin. I think this is where this is every year with this team. This is where it begins. And it runs right into Thanksgiving, and then they give you that turkey and they win, and then they just roll off three or four more losses. I don't know. I just do not have the confidence in this team. I know they got off to a really good start. I'm just not a believer.
These days, the hustle's nonstop. When you need to unwind, reach for a Coors Light. It's the only beer that's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. So kick back with Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado, encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.